it is a good time to come at 4 o'clock, assemble to worship God and spirit and truth here at River Ridge Church of Christ. And as this morning, we do have several guests, and we're thankful for that. Very honorable to have you here. If you have any questions how the service unfolds, go with what the Bible teaches and God's Word. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions you may have this evening. By way of announcement, Sister Tina is still recovering from surgery. Haven't heard her prayers. I know Warren's appreciative of all the help that he's getting, meals, coming over and sitting with her where he can do other things. Obviously, prayers as well. From this morning, we got TJ still sick. Those members out of town, Mallory and Dan, didn't go to Indianapolis. They went out to Wyoming. Okay? I thought so. Keep them in your prayers as well for that trip. Brother Mark Kaysen is still in Tennessee coming up as far as that goes. And then the rest of my family, Charlotte, Andrew, and Tabitha are in Madison, Indiana. And Laurie is sitting with Tina, so Warren will be here tonight. So where she's at. And again, this morning, if we had all the people here, we'd have to bring even more chairs out. This is great. Order of service this evening, opening prayer, Brother Warren will have it. Communion will be by Brother Tony. Brother Tim will have the song service, and he's selecting hymn number 569. Brother Chuck will have the lesson this afternoon, and Brother James is down for the closing prayer. A couple of other announcements. The questions for 1 John chapter 1 or 2 are on the website. I'll have additional copies here at the building. And knowing that Chuck is going out of town on a meeting next Sunday, I get to take class over. So, as a teacher, I want to opt and say, put Romans aside and go with 1 John, since that's what we're teaching on Wednesday night. So we'll continue on Sunday morning, the 1 John, wherever we end up on Wednesday night with Brother Michael. We'll pick that up. So you have a good dose of 1 John this Wednesday, Sunday, and next Wednesday. Okay? And then, when Brother Chuck comes back, he'll pick up the Romans. That's a kind of continuity thing between teaching, as far as that goes. If there's anything else, let us know at the end of service. We'll have it now picked up. Brother Tim.
Number 569, we'll sing all three verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide.
Our next song will be number 868. This song we sing all the way through, and then we go back to the start again, and we sing down to the middle where it says fine there, the F-I-N-E. After we sing this song, then our brother Warren will lead us in an opening word prayer.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing,
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Now go to God in prayer.
Lord God, the Most High and Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity in this day, this Lord's day, to come together and to worship you, sing praises unto your name. We pray to Heavenly Father, we'll always be a humble people, thankful to you. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. You're the creator of all. So grateful. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your church. We're thankful for the work that's being done here. We pray for the work that's being done here. Bless those who are working, struggling to do what they have to do, Lord, to make the building come online. Put things in places. We know there's a lot of work that has to be done. We pray that you be with us. Pray that those who have to make those decisions will look to you, Lord, for making those decisions. Heavenly Father, we pray for this country. We know there's many issues in this world, many issues we can't control, to Heavenly Father. But our prayer would be that sound minds and hearts would prevail. We pray that our leaders, to Heavenly Father, Lord, whatever they do, use your wisdom, Lord, to help them make those decisions. Now, to Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the visitor who came our way this afternoon. We pray you bless them as they journey. Thankful to Heavenly Father for Gina and her recovery process. So thankful for the success she's had at this point. We pray for the but those others we've been praying for, Sister Pam Bays, Dottie Reed, we pray that you be with them at this time. Now, as we go through this period of worship, our prayer is that you be with us, Lord, be among us. We're thankful most of all for your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We offer this prayer in his name.
Amen. I see the hands of those who would like to take the Lord's Supper this afternoon. Turn to number 217. Sing all three verses of the Lord's Supper off of this afternoon, number 217.
Why did the Savior heavenly man come to earth below? Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so. Why did the Savior mark the way, and why temptation go? And toil and plead and pray, because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so. Why feel the garden's dreadful cross? Why through his trials go? Why suffer death upon the cross? Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so.
Table was still prepared for those that didn't have opportunity to take this morning, that they would have the opportunity to do so at this time. The table is prepared in remembrance of his death and sacrifice he made upon the cross, because as the song said, he did. He loved us so. It was on our behalf. Let's pray and confess for our unleavened bread. Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table in remembrance of your Son and our Savior, we're indeed thankful for the sacrifice that was made upon our behalf. We pray that those that partake this unleavened bread, communion, thy Son's body that hung upon that cross, that we will reflect back upon that scene and think of the sacrifice that was made. We ask that you bless this unleavened bread. We pray that those who partake of it would do so in my own well pleasing to thee. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
See you in heaven, those. Thanks for the fruit of vine. Our Heavenly Father, as we continue to gather around this table, remembrance of your Son and our Savior, we are indeed thankful for the blood that was shed upon that cross of Calvary for our behalf. We pray that those partake of this fruit of vine, communion of thy Son's blood, that they will reflect back upon that scene and think of you, and that they will do so in a manner well pleasing to thee. So in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Close the Lord's Supper. The offering plate will be here for any members that didn't have an opportunity to lay by and store. They can do so after services.
Before Chuck reads the lesson this afternoon, let's turn to number 977. It is convenient for you to please stand. We'll sing this song. It's kind of a march going into battle kind of song, so it's a great song to be standing for. We'll sing all three verses and then Chuck will bring us the lesson.
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. The weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He raised up a standard, the power of the flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the heart do not fear, the battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near, the battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord.
You seated, please. Mark 53 is invitation 53. Good to see everyone out tonight. I encourage you to take hold of your Bibles and follow along as we study together this afternoon. Before we get into that, one quick announcement. Warren mentioned in his prayer for you to keep in your prayers. He's talking about the building. As of Friday, the blueprints for the new building have been sent to state, so we pray that that will be approved within 3 weeks. And we can start the renovations. But Wednesday morning, we have a meeting with the utility board because they've been giving, the sewer department's been giving us a hard time. So we got to stand before them on Wednesday morning. We just pray that things go well there. You don't want to know the details, but the difference is between $17,000 and $33,000. And so let's be praying about that. I was talking with Belinda. She knew that tonight was part two of the lesson. I said, don't panic. I will do a little bit of reviewing. Okay? And so I'm going to go into overdrive now because, I've got these 9 points. I know you're thinking, wait a minute, this morning you said there were 7 and you only got through 4. Well, yeah, but I added 2. It kind of tied into what we were talking about in the radio program today. And so what was our lesson that we started this morning? Well, what started it, as I shared with you, was a thought process in a class I was staying with some dear friends of mine in the Athens area in Alabama. And we got this young couple that want to leave the Lord. And I've known the family for a long time. And they're willing to talk. And one of the comments that was made was, Chuck, how come we're smarter than other people? How come they can't see it then? And their thought process is, like if everybody else is wrong, how can we be right? And what we were noticing is really, we're not smarter. What we do is that we have eliminated some erroneous thinking. Because if you have the wrong mindset, you're going to come to the wrong conclusion on things. So we looked at a number of examples where just bad thinking takes place. And people make assumptions about different things. We talked about it on the radio program today. Mark and I were talking about that idea, answering the question, well, that's what the Church of Christ teaches. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? We looked at 3 passages this morning quickly. We went to Galatians 1, 1 Thessalonians. Well, actually, we went to Revelation 2 and 3, too, to talk about, when you say, what does the Church of Christ teach? Well, I'll tell you what, if you lived in the first century and you went to Galatia and you were a visitor there, you'd say, man, the Churches of Christ, they teach a different gospel. No, they were doing something wrong at Galatia. They had to be corrected. If you went to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there were some brethren there who were getting caught up in believing that if you died before Jesus comes back, you don't get to go to heaven. So they had that misunderstanding. But if you were a visitor there, prior to Paul writing the letter, they would say, oh, Churches of Christ believe that if you die, you miss heaven. No, we don't believe that. But some Churches of Christ might teach that. And so when you say, what does the Church of Christ teach? You say, well, which one? Which one? You go to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and there's 5 Churches of Christ there. From different areas, there's 2 others, but there's 5 of them that were told you're doing something wrong. The church at Ephesus, you've left your first love. Would you love to have been a member there? Hey, they were told to repent. Get that first love back. You've left your first love. And so we have to be careful of making generalities and have prejudice. And it's like I said on the radio, I said, be terrible to think, all Canadians think that way. Oh, all white people think that way. All black people think that way. Well, see, that's just closed-mindedness. That's prejudice. You're not going to learn that way, is my point. And so when my friend says, what, have we cornered the market on truth? Why are we smarter than other people that we've learned something? How come they can't see it? They can if they want to. The truth is there. Okay? But what we pointed out is that what we're trying to do is prevent erroneous thinking. I titled the sermon, Don't Set Yourself Up for a Fall. You're going to set yourself up for a fall by thinking the wrong thing. Here's the first 4 we looked at very quickly. This morning we talked about some think intentions are just as good as actions.
And we went and we talked about the foolish virgins. And when the five foolish showed up and they knocked on, they said, "Open up!" And we said, "Why in the world did they think that the door was going to be open? There'll be people who think the door's going to be open." I mean, where did that come from? That came from an idea that, well, we went and got oil. You know, we had good intentions. We just didn't prepare. Just wrong thinking. And, you know, as James says, in James chapter 4, we pointed out, you know, that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So good intention not going to cut it. And so we talked about that thought process. They actually thought, "Hey, open the door to us." And people will think everything is fine. That's erroneous thinking. You guys remember, I wrote this, I wrote a bunch of figures on here as a math problem. I put a bunch of numbers there. And I said, what are the possibilities of the wrong answers? I mean, they're endless. There's only one right answer. And so what I'm saying is, there's a right way to think, but there are many ways to think wrong. Many ways. And so we're doing the best that we can to make sure we think properly. The second one we looked at, we went to Acts chapter 5 and looked at Ananias and Sapphira and said, some think actions without total honesty is okay. Well, at least I'm here, Lord. Okay, so I don't really want to be here, but you know what? There are people out there not even here. I had good intentions of giving to the needy saints there in Acts chapter 5, but you know, it's not all of it, but you know, what does it matter? Well, it mattered a lot. But they convinced themselves. When the wife came in, is this all of it? Yep. Why would you say that? Why would you say that's all of it? You're lying. Well, what's the harm? And I'll talk about that in just a few moments. There's that mindset. Third thing we looked at was something that good intentions with actions, is good. We went over to John chapter 8 and read 10 and 11, where Stephen, when Jesus was being arrested, cuts the ear off of that servant. Good for you, Peter. Bad for you, Peter. Where'd that come from? Well, I'm doing it for the Lord. I want to protect him. You know, there's a lot of people in a lot of places, a lot of religious groups are saying, we're doing this for the Lord, and they've corrupted Colossians 3:17, as I mentioned this morning. Whatever you do in word or deed, doing all in the name of, by the authority of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you do something and say, I'm doing it for you, Lord. No, it means you listen to what the Lord says and you do what he says. That's what it's all about. That's what walking by faith is. So I don't want to be thinking wrong. I don't want to justify any action by saying, well, I've got good intentions here, and here's the demonstration of it. Well, you know, cutting the ear up. Where'd you get that from, Peter? That didn't come from me. That came from you. And we introduced Cain there. Cain, you know, he offered worship. An offer. But God was not pleased with it. Now, why did Cain get angry? Because he thought God would like it. Where did that come from? Himself. Wrong thinking. There's a lot of wrong thinking. I don't want to think wrong. Therefore, I don't want to teach error. I haven't cornered the market on truth. I'm not the smartest guy around. But we know where the truth is found. Jesus said you can know the truth. And so when somebody says, Chuck, have we cornered the market on truth? Are we smarter than other people? I'm trying to tell them, no, we're not. But the broad way and the narrow way is the difference between right thinking and wrong thinking. And we need to keep our guard up. I know what you're thinking right now. You're not getting through 9 points. Yeah, well, some of you know me. You can say, no, he talks fast. He can take care of that. All right, then we said, some people think what God should think. And we did the laborers in the vineyard from Matthew chapter 20. You've got these guys who worked all day in the sun. They agreed, okay, we agreed for so much. And then they found out these people that worked for such a short time got that much. And they go, so they walked up expecting to get paid more. Where did that come from? That's erroneous thinking. You're thinking that you should get more. Don't you think for the master, you know, the guy that hired you. Don't think for your boss. And don't you and I think for God. But people will do that. And I told you this morning the story of the conversation yesterday with the guy in the phone. That was right. You know, just wanted to talk about the Bible. And he talked about all the erroneous teaching that's out there, a lot of false teaching out there, Chuck. He likes to talk about the Bible. He says, I like talking with you, Chuck, and this is good, and everything's wonderful. And then I'm picking up on this conversation, the vulgarity. He started introducing it. And I stopped and I said, well, are you a Christian? Yeah. I said, you thinking about God? Yeah. I says, well, where did you get the idea that vulgarity is okay? He goes, I think God doesn't mind. Well, see, there it is. I think God doesn't mind. I said, where's the verse? And I shared with you this morning. I said, when I said, where's the verse? He said, somebody's at the door. Got to go. Bye. I was just asking for biblical authority. That's all I was asking for.
Gone.
But that was the mindset that he had. All right. You have now been brought up to where we were this morning. You want to hear the details of it? Go on the website. Okay. Point number five. Some people seem to think, and if you go to Joshua chapter 7, we're just noticing the way some people think, and they try to justify certain things. And you know what? People want to think a certain way. What are you going to do about it? You can try to persuade them otherwise, but if they don't want to think right, you waste your time. So you're trying to get people to think. That's why Jesus said, don't think that I came to send peace on earth. Well, why did Jesus say that? Because some people think that. You don't tell somebody not to think a certain way unless they think a certain way. Well, our Lord did. And you know, in Joshua 7, this is about Achan. And why did I bring up Achan? Because some people think that what no one knows won't hurt them. Really? The children of Israel committed a trespass in verse 1 regard to the cursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. It affected other people. You move down to verse 19 of the same chapter. What do we read? Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. And then he confessed. Now it's coming back to haunt. But you know, this idea that, you know, you do whatever you want, and if I believe whatever I want, even if what I'm believing is wrong, it's not going to affect any other people. Sure it is. It's going to affect other people. Because you know that guy that was on the phone that was talking that way? He told me he just had a buddy of his leave his house. They were having a Bible study. Boy, that's quite the leader there. That's quite the positive influence, I'm sure, that you gave that individual. That you think you can just talk like this? And I said this morning that the language is like it'd make a sailor blush. And I'm like, where does that come from? It comes from man, folks. It comes from erroneous thinking, and that's why we have all the religious divisions today. What did we say on the radio today, Mark? We were talking about Churches of Christ. I started mentioning all the different Churches of Christ around, and people say, Chuck, what do they teach? I don't know. Go find out. That's what I said. Go find out. Because I'm not going to say, well, Churches of Christ teach... Wait a second. From a biblical point of view, I can tell you what Churches of Christ should preach, but I don't know what Churches of Christ are preaching everywhere. But you know, we have the pattern. Jesus is the head, right? He has all authority. That's what we're trying to get across in the radio program today. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. He has all authority, and if he's the head of the church. So the question I asked Mark, I said, well, if this local church has Christ as the head, and they're perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment by following the Lord, and this church over here is doing the very same thing, do they have things in common, or are they different? Common. If they're different, somebody's sinning. Maybe both are sinning. But they're both not right. Now, wait a minute. No, Chuck, I think they're both right. Again, we're talking about a mindset that people have. And this is why there's so much division today. And I haven't lost sight of the purpose of this sermon was with my friend who I love dearly. And they're saying, Chuck, are we smarter than other people? I'm not smarter than you. I'm not smarter than anybody here. He said, Chuck, are you trying to tell me I'm wrong? Look, I'm trying to tell you is that we can know the truth and truth will set us free, but there are many things that cause us to look at things through rose-tinted glasses. There are things that affect our thinking. And we're just looking at different examples that we find in the Bible where people thought it was okay, and it wasn't. All right. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 5, it provides a good example of how our minds can become narrow. And we've been there. I've been there. Coming out of denominationalism myself, getting into a discussion with people on things, my mind was made up. You know, when somebody tells me, you know, I'm going into a Bible class, the baptism is necessary for salvation, I'm going, what are you talking about? I remember those days. My mind was made up. I was presented with passages, and it was hard for me to get past it. Why? Because of this particular point. And that is, some people think in a very narrow way. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we find that Naaman, I like first days, but we find that Naaman was told to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan to get rid of his leprosy. Now look at verse 11. Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." Where'd you get that from? Where'd that come from? Well, I'm a smart man. I'm smart, I'm intelligent, and it just seems logical that this would be the right thing to do. Says who? You know, too many people have not learned, and we have to pray about that, like we're warned it. You know, we pray for humility. Because in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, we have people thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to. Oh, we're smart. There we go, the thinking process. I'm so smart. And I got to keep myself in check, and you got to keep me in check, and I got to keep you in check, because as I said this morning, what's worse? Telling a lie or believing a lie? What's worse? They're both bad. I can't say, well, Chuck, you can't say, Chuck told me a lie, Lord. Lord, you believed it. You believed it. And so we need to understand that there's no such thing as Church of Christ doctrine. There's the doctrine of Christ. Get that? There's no Riverridge Church of Christ doctrine. Now, that would be. It would be unique. A unique teaching to us if we do something not found in it. It's not authorized by the Lord. That's a Riverridge Church of Christ doctrine. And I would say, amen. So where'd you get that from? From us. It's our church. We make the rules here. But we've learned it's not our church. It's Christ. A church can have a head, but a church can't be a head. But there's too many churches that want to make their own decisions and make laws if not found within here. And that's what this lesson is all about. Well, how do we know who's right, who's wrong? Is there any way to figure that one out? I asked Mark that on the radio today. He went over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he said that we're to be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment, no division among us. How are we going to achieve that? We'll just do what the preachers do. No. Listen to the Lord. Have authority. Demand it is the key. But if we get that thinking, that mindset, you know, that, well, no, my mind is already made up. This is the way it should be. He should come up, wave his hand over me. Everything is fine. When you have preconceived ideas, as I started up earlier tonight by saying, well, all black people think that way, or all white people think that way, or all Canadians think that way. I don't want you doing that. You know, once in a while somebody will say that. Oh, Canadian. Oh, I get it. Wait a second. We don't all think the same way, and we don't even all talk the same way. You know, I don't say, hey. You know, a lot of people do. You know, a lot of people joke up. You know, they joke, how's it going, eh? I go, what? A, B, C. You know, I don't say that, but they just group everybody together. That's on a lighter note. But on a more serious note, people will come back and make assumptions about what you believe, what you think, how you act. Very dangerous, folks, and it can cost us our soul. Now, I'm saving that last one, because these other two, I was thinking about today. Pretty powerful. Now, I want you to go to John chapter 12. Actually, I'm going to give Mark credit for this one because we brought it up in our on the radio program this afternoon, 98.5 on our FM dial on Sundays at 2. From that free advertising. But in John chapter 12, verse 42, see if you can pick up the mindset here that causes people not to find the truth. Here's one. Big, huge. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. And I'll tell you what, guys, if you just want to be happy all the time, not rock the boat, everybody love you, guess what? You're in serious trouble. Your mindset is off. It's not going to work. You're setting yourself up for a fall if all you want is the praise of man. And that's why we introduced today in our study 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's warning a young preacher. You know what preacher's like? Preacher's like, at the end of a sermon, thank you, I really enjoyed that. I'm not fishing for compliments. It never happened. No. But, you know, after you, hey, I appreciate that. Or, oh, that was thought-provoking. Oh, God, you gave me something to think about. Whatever. You know, they just want the idea that thanks for preaching the truth idea here. That's what we want. Just preach the truth. Preachers want people to want the truth. Bottom line. Not all, because he had to warn Timothy. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. He said, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Why? The time will come when they will not endure doubt, endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But Lord, or Paul, if I teach fables, they're going to like me. I'll have job security. We'll grow. I won't preach on divorce and remarriage. I won't preach on drinking. I won't preach on dress. I won't preach on the things that people don't want to talk about today. And everybody's going to love me. They're going to love me. Isn't that what it's all about, Paul? No. You're setting yourself up for a fall, mind-wise, if you think your goal in life is to please everybody. You guys remember Luke 6:26? Where Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of you. Now, I don't like when people don't like me. I didn't want this guy hanging up on me. I mean, I just didn't like the idea that he was cussing, but you know what? What I learned a long time ago? People who are don't follow the Lord don't do righteous things, you know? So sinners sin. Jesus came to save them. I'm not going to cut myself off of somebody. If you want to talk, but I'm going to get to the heart of the issue. I'm going to say, well, why are you doing that? Do you love the Lord? I want to get back to authority. Anytime I study with anybody, it's always about authority. It is, because I'm not going to preach my opinion. I don't want them just to listen to Chuck. Because I said it. It all comes back to authority. Let's talk about it. But you know what? If I just wanted this guy to be my bud, and he told me, this is the second conversation. He didn't do it the first time. But he said, like he called up the other day, I wasn't home. He said, Chuck, you guys are mailing me the bulletin. I like the bulletin. Keep sending it. Good. Like that. Well, we're sending it out to a lot of people in the community. People want to learn. Today, I get home. Can you send me a DVD of the TV program? Can you enroll me in the home Bible study course? And can you send me the bulletin? Two different people. It's good. You get excited about that. And so this guy that calls up, you know, and we're having this conversation. I'm thinking, well, man, I don't want to get this guy mad. I better not ask him about his vulgarity. What would that accomplish? We'd have been buds. I'd made him feel good. I wouldn't have been helping him. I wouldn't have made him think. I wouldn't have him to consider God in the whole picture. I wasn't nasty. I didn't even want to hang up. I just said, so, is that scriptural? If you think it's okay, cuss. And I was ready to go with it, but he had to go, apparently. So, if we think our goal here is to please everybody, and this is I'm trying to help my friends, it was a couple. I haven't cornered the market on truth, and I'm not smarter than anybody else. But what I'm trying to do is not to have erroneous thinking. That's all. That's simple. And if I'm wrong about something, I want somebody to point it out to me, and we can study. The second from the last that I want us to talk about, and if you'll open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, here it is. And I need to tell you this, because we're friends. I know most of you. Very close. But if we refuse to accept the possibility of being deceived, we're in trouble. Let me ask you something. Do you think you can be deceived?
Oh, I'm smart.
Okay, that's good. I didn't say you weren't smart. I'm just saying, do you think you could be deceived? We know what happened back in the garden. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's look at 13. I'll get there. First thing. You know how that pen? chapter 2. He says in verse 13, Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. She was deceived. Now, this doesn't take rocket science. How come Eve was deceived? You go back there and you can read it in Genesis chapter 3. It's simple, guys. We talked about this in the past. Why was Eve deceived? All the serpent said was, you shall not surely die. How come she was deceived? Because she didn't ask any questions. She put her trust in it or him. She put her trust like, that's what she wanted to hear. But where was the questions like, why would God lie to me? And where'd you get your information? Those are good questions, by the way. Those have been really good questions. You'd love to have been there. Oh, excuse me. Can you answer me this question, serpent? Why would God say something he didn't mean? You see, questions get the deceivers in trouble because you get to the heart of the matter. That's what a lawyer likes to do when he's got somebody on the witness stand that's a liar. He sets them up. He talks about, okay, you said this, but wait a second. Earlier in your testimony, you said this. Now, how does that work out? How can you be at two places at one time? I don't want to answer that. So the serpent, they don't want to answer any questions. But that's how people get deceived. You let your guard down, and you say, well, Chuck is not going to teach air. So I'm coming to service. I don't need my Bible. I'm just going to listen. And he's just a nice guy. He's not going to teach air. And we say, you can't be deceived. You're setting yourself up for a fall, is what I'm saying. When you put your trust in man, rather than putting your trust in God. Now, it can happen a number of different ways. 2 Thessalonians, quick. 2 Thessalonians. And we'll go to chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Now, look what he says here in verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and are gathered together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, although the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day of the Lord will come unless the falling of man comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. I love that. Let no one deceive you. How are you going to do that? There's a lot of people being deceived today. Hook, line, and sinker. They're happy, put their head on their pillow at night. They have inner peace, so to speak. And it's just the blind leading the blind. They have been deceived. And to think that we can't be deceived, others can do it. I tell you, guys, so I tell you, keep your guard up. I'm just a man. I can make mistakes. Told you that before. That's why my name's on the bulletin. You get that? That's why my name's on the bulletin. I wrote that just like I'm preaching a sermon. I wrote the article. If there's a problem with it, if I've taught error, you come to me. We're not going to not put a name on that and make it the River Ridge Church of Christ bulletin, no name on it. Like that's the church's teaching. Christ teaches. You understand the difference here? That would become our creed. If you take my name off of that, it's a creed. Here, this is what the Church of Christ believes. Well, what if I teach error? What if there's error in there? Well, that's what the Church of Christ teaches. Well, not the church to read both the Bible. So we need to be mindful of that. So this idea of being deceived can happen. So others, well, what about self? 1 John 1. Not only can others deceive you, you can deceive yourselves. What? Why would I do that? People want to do that. It's their mindset. In 1 John chapter 1, he says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. You've deceived yourself. You're perfect. I haven't sinned. Actually met a guy like that once. One guy like that. The guy, one of the members here who knows his name because it's his. But anyways, many years ago, but this guy was perfect. never, ever prayed for forgiveness of sin. No. Who thinks like that? That's what he said. You can deceive yourself and have the wrong mindset. And we got to make sure, folks, I'm telling everybody, anybody, if you've just come in here for the very first time, you see, maybe you, if you don't even believe in God and you're trying to learn about God and all this kind of stuff, I would say the same thing to you. This is the kind of sermon, I wouldn't care what your background is. I don't care what you believe. I would say the very same thing. There's right thinking and there's wrong thinking. And you're not going to find the truth if you don't understand that there is that vulnerability within people to be deceived. And we got to keep our guard up. I don't want to be deceived. Well, then don't. So you ask questions. And you look for it and make sure it's backed up within the Word of God. One more quick point on that one. And that's it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Whew. See, told you to talk fast. 1 Corinthians 15. What did he say in verse 33? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. The company that you keep. How can you think wrong? I'll tell you how you can think wrong. Hang around a bunch of people who think wrong. Well, they all think like me. So, doesn't make it right. You know, that mindset doesn't work. I don't think I'm right because I could point out people in this audience. I could say, well, Keith thinks like I do. So what? Big deal? Who cares? Well, Tim thinks like I do too. And Janet does. There's four. What's your point, Joe? It doesn't prove anything. This is what proves it. But you have that mindset that, you know, if you hang around people, did you ever notice that people who are worldly have a tendency to hang around worldly people? You know, if you have weak members in the congregation, you have weak members, who do they like to hang around with? The really strong ones? No, hang around with other weak ones. Because then you don't feel so uncomfortable. That's a tendency that people have, that you can hang around people who are more lenient, who are more loose in their thinking. That makes you more comfortable. You're going to be totally uncomfortable around somebody. It's a good analogy would be, you know, here's your, I don't pick on Kennedy, but if you got a teenager, you know, you got a teenager who's hanging around with his friends, could you imagine what his friends are going to think if they say, hey, can my parents hang around with us? You want your mom and dad hanging out with us? No, we don't want them hanging out with us. You just get that idea. And so my point is, we need to be careful of the people that we're around, and to think that we can't be deceived, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. It happens all the time. And that's why Jesus said, narrow is the road, and few there be that find it. My point is this. Very few people think correctly. Now, if somebody says, oh, Chuck, so you think right. That's my goal. I will not apologize. You don't apologize for wanting to think right. I want to apologize if I think wrong and teach the wrong thing. That's the difference. Now, gives me a little bit of time left for this other one. You knew sooner or later, folks, we had to go to Matthew chapter 7. You know, have you ever heard of wishful thinking? Wishful thinking. You know, I'll say something or somebody says something, like they'll say, like that's going to happen. Our idea of going to heaven is not wishful thinking. For a lot of people, it is. It is wishful thinking. Like this. In Matthew chapter 7, he says in verse 21, not everyone. What he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Well, why would they say Lord, Lord if they don't think they're going to go to heaven? No, his point is they think they are. That's the point he's making. They shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now look at verse 22. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What? Aren't we going? You're not receiving us? I don't understand this. It almost like the parable of the ten virgins, the five foolish. Open up. I mean, are you that naive? I mean, I don't want to pretend like I know. I don't want to embellish the Word of God. I don't know what their expressions were, and I don't know whether they walked up with this without panic. I don't know if they didn't have any panic. I don't know if they walked up to the door and said, open up to us. It says they said that. Open up to us. Did they have this expectation of, get ready, they're going to open. Open up. These people here. Well, Lord, look at what we've done. There's that expectation. Based on what? See the mindset, folks? That's just wishful thinking. You go out and get in your car tonight. I think I saw somebody run across there. I think they may have put $1 million in your front door. You know that didn't happen. Wishful thinking. It's not going to happen. Christianity is not wishful thinking. Christianity is based upon the word of truth. And that's what 1 Peter chapter 4. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Our responsibility is to evaluate ourselves and compare it to this. How is your thinking? Well, the Corinthian brethren were basically told that in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. But am I going to be a Naaman? Oh, no, my mind's already made up. Here's what you got to do. Come out, wave your arm over me, and I'll call on your God, and my leprosy will be gone. This is really what I'm expecting to happen. And so do you think that we're right with God? Based on what? Christians were told this in verse 5. In 2 Corinthians 13, 5, he says, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourself. How are you going to do that? How does a person do that if they're not thinking straight? Boy, that would be an interesting thing to see, wouldn't it? Somebody testing without the standard. You know, it's like that math equation. If a person doesn't know how to add, I'd be just curious. I'm going to see how he answers this one. Now, you don't know how to add? Nope, never learned. Okay, so you're going to add that up? Yep. I'd be curious how you're going to do that. I would be just as curious as how somebody's going to examine themselves whether they're in the faith and they're not thinking. They're not going to the Scriptures. They're not comparing themselves by it. See, James chapter 1, verse 25 tells us that we look into the perfect law of liberty. You do not answer to the River Ridge Church of Christ. You answer to Christ. Remember, we've been emphasizing that, right? Looking forward to our new building. It's just a meeting place. And remember, it's not the River Ridge Church of Christ. River Ridge, just location. We're on the River Ridge. It's a church that's Christ's. We emphasize Christ in all of that. And we want people to judge us by that. We say, you come, bring your Bible. Be willing to ask questions. And we don't apologize. And 2 weeks ago, I brought this up in a sermon. So you guys remember that one time? I don't know if you remember because it happened a number of months ago. Do you guys remember? We had a visitor sitting over here. And as I was preaching, you could see every word I was saying. The temperature was going. She made a dash to that door so fast. What? Didn't want to hear it. It happened. It happened. And as a study we did a couple weeks ago with John chapter 6, Jesus told the 12, do you also want to leave? After the many left. You know, folks, people are going to face all kinds of temptation. My friends in Alabama, they're sitting there going, Chuck, we want to leave. It just seems so narrow. Truth seems so narrow. Are we smarter than other people? Absolutely not. We're trying to get them to understand we're not smarter than other people. But the gospel is for everybody. Many are called, but few are chosen. We just have to decide whether we're going to put Christ first and let Him have the say in our lives. Let's keep our guard up, folks. That's what this lesson was all about. To realize that we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Never be ashamed of it, but always searching and evaluating ourselves. Are you right with the Lord? I don't decide that. The Word does. When we sit down and study with people, we have this open. And if somebody were ever asked me, Chuck, do you think I'm going to heaven? I call. You know, what does the Lord say? Have you done what he's told us here? You abide by it, and that's what we want people to do. Follow the Lord. If you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to become one. We'll sit down with our Bibles open. We'll show you there is a step. There are steps. There is a process to being born again. And then when you rise up in newness of life, we've lived faithfully till death, Revelation 2:10. If we're a child of God that's gone wayward, we need to come back, be restored, James 5:19 and 20. And you have to come back on the Lord's terms. It's a responsibility that we have. We just want to go to heaven. We want you to go to heaven. We want you to get on that road and help other people get to heaven. That's what it's all about. And if we can help you in any way, will you come forward, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
Here's our sin and vanity and pride. Carry not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died.
By searching also. And that's why we're here, to just preach the truth only, and we hope that that's the reason that you're here also. So, we know as we go out to the work week, we're going to have pitfalls that will be around us and preach today. We don't want to set ourselves up for a fall. We want to be smart, and we're here to edify each other in our walk with Christ. So we're just thankful that everyone's been here this afternoon, that we could enjoy this time, this hour of preaching. So we'll now be led in a chapter.
Just one quick thing, because we got a number of visitors. They don't have to do what we're going to do, but we got to put all the chairs back and stuff, and so don't feel obligated. We got to get back to school.
And so let's now be led in our closing prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for a second opportunity we had today to come here together as Christians and worship you and learn more about your word and study the Bible. We are thankful that we have an opportunity like this to come together. We pray now that you help those who are sick and help those who are traveling. Help us as we head home, and help us during this week until we come back here again. Help us all in our day-to-day lives, and forgive us for our sins. In your Son's holy and righteous name, pray.
Amen.